I'm reading from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father God, we come this evening with thanksgiving in our hearts, thanking your God for being God all by yourself. And besides you, there's no other. Oh God, we thank you for your grace as well as your mercy. Lord, we ask you to look down on us this evening. In times like these, oh God, we need you and we can't get along without you. Oh God, without you, we are nothing. But with your God, we can do all things. All things to you that you give us. We can do it. Strengthen us, oh God. Where we're weak, build us up where we've been torn down. Lord, as I pray, oh God, that we're in a fallen world today. Oh God, the pandemic that's going around, that's taking our lives. Lord, we need you. We need you here and right now. We need you, Lord. Please look and have mercy upon us. Oh God, we ask you to bless the shepherd of this church. Bless the members, oh God. Lord, we need you to help us to be what you will have us to be in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we know that you sit high and you look low and you know all about us. You know our thoughts and you know our heart desire. And our desire, oh God, is for you and for you only. Please look and have mercy upon us. Lord, now I ask you to forgive us of our sins. We sin, oh God, and some sins we're not aware of. We ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Oh God, now I ask you to look in all the hospital rooms and all the nursing home rooms throughout the land. Let them know, God, that you haven't left them nor have you forsaken them. And power still remains in your possession. Lord, look and have mercy upon us. Lord, we need you. In this troubling world, we need you. Please look and have mercy. As the pastor come, oh God, we ask you to let him decrease while you increase in him. Let him take us to another level, God, to follow you. As he follow you, oh God, we can follow him in the name of Jesus. Bless this ministry. Bless this church. Bless the sound of my weak voice. I ask you these blessings and all other blessings. In your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank God for another opportunity to look into his word. And so we are finding the Gospel of Luke. And we're looking at chapter 18. And we are reading verses 11. Well, we'll just read 9 through 13. And he spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that thou art not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Amen. And so we are going to be, in one of these verses, we see in verse number 11, it talks about extortioners, and those, an extortioner is someone who is a robber or one who coerces someone into doing something by force. And we see that it uses the word unjust. An unjust person is a crooked person. It is a person that you can't trust. They're dishonest. And then he talks about an adulterer. We know that an adulterer is a person who's unfaithful, one who cheats. He says, and then he talks about a publican. And we know that a publican is a collector of taxes for Rome. And he overcharged God's people. And he took the proceeds and put it, he ought not only pay the required taxes, but he overcharged the Jews, the Jewish people, enough to pay Rome, to pay for what they were getting, and to pay him some extra. So he was hated and he was despised. A despised tax collector is what a publican is. Amen. So we want to go back now to verse number 13. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we want to talk about a victim of sin. Amen. A victim of sin. Amen. We know that it is one thing to play the victim, but it's another thing to be a victim. It is one thing to pass the blame, but it is another thing to be the blame. It is one thing to find fault, but it's another thing to be at fault. It is one thing to be a sinner, but it is another thing to be a victim of sin. Amen. The aim of our sermon is for us to keep things in perspective. Amen. To keep things in perspective, especially people. When we talk about, we're particularly talking about people, because people are sinners. We are sinners, and so therefore we want us to keep sinners in perspective as well as things. When I think about a victim is a sufferer. Amen. A victim is a sufferer. It is a sufferer. It is a sufferer who has suffered as a result of somebody else's actions or beliefs. Amen. A sufferer who has suffered as a result of someone else's actions or beliefs. And we know that there are many victims in the world. We know that there are couples who are victims of their own emotions because of the choices that they've made. The bad choice, perhaps, that they made. And we know that children can be victims because we know that children oftentimes find themselves with parents they didn't choose. So they are a victim of someone else's doing, a victim of someone else's choices. Amen. They were brought into the world and no doubt through immaturity, no doubt through infidelity, they were just brought in. Maybe through ignorance. Someone didn't even know what they were doing, and they found themselves present. And now they have parents they did not choose. And they are victims of somebody else's doing. We're victims. We're victims of the coronavirus. We didn't cause it that we know of. We didn't start it. But we find ourselves as sufferers of something else that we had no authority or control over. And it has made the whole wide world victims. Amen. And victims, amen. You can be a victim of circumstances. Amen. Not only couples and children and the coronavirus, but you can be a victim of a circumstances. You can be a victim of a family feud, a victim of somebody else's fight, a victim that you were born into somebody else's mess and you didn't. Amen. You were born into the mess, and you came into the world, and you found yourself in the world, and in a family you didn't even choose with that already had problems, and you are victimized. Amen. You're there involuntarily, and so we look at this. We look at it and we see that Jesus here is talking to them about prayer and about how they ought to pray and not faint. In verse 1, he says, men ought to always pray and not to faint. In other words, they ought not stop praying for situations that they take to the Lord. He said, man ought to always pray. Amen, amen, amen. Don't stop. Amen. Have you stopped? Amen. Have you given up? It's not that God can't answer, but it could be that you just stopped. He said, man ought to always pray. And don't stop. Don't give up. And such was the case with this unjust judge in this verse. We see that this widow went to this unjust judge, and she says, avenge me of mine adversaries. In verse 3. She says, I want justice of those who are against me. I want you to do something about it. And the woman wouldn't give up. Matter of fact, he says, this woman continually in verse 5 comes to me, and because of her continual coming, amen, she wearied me. In other words, she's driving me crazy. Amen. She's saying, I want you to judge to give me some justice over mine adversaries. Sound like she's saying no justice, no peace. But Jesus says, don't give up, don't stop praying. And he says, don't stop. I want you to stand up. I want you to take a stand for something you believe in. And I don't want you to back off. This woman says, I want justice. And so he says he wants to know, when he comes back to the world in verse 8, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find those who are faithful, and those not just personal faith, but those who have persisted in faith? Will faith be sustained on the earth? Will, when Jesus comes back, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find people still having faith, or would they have given up? Oh, Lord, have mercy. The truth is that God can and he will do certain things if we don't give up. Man ought to always pray and not to faint. Amen. You ought to continue, not stop. You ought to, he says that you ought to take a stand. And if you take a stand, and when he comes back, will he have found persons on the earth who have taken a stand? And then he goes on to talk about this man as he continues to talk to them about prayer. He brings up these things, that there are reasons why people stop praying. Amen. People can stop praying because of sin can stop you from praying. And so he says, I want you all to understand that you got to keep on praying. You can think that just because you're a sinner that God will not come to your rescue and that he's given up on you. But if you go right, you can get some results. Well, the truth of the matter is that he says to us, he says that he spoke a, verse 9, a certain, he spoke this parable to a certain of those who trusted in themselves to be righteous. Amen. Amen. It was certain folk. And so Jesus is saying that those who think that they are righteous in and of themselves, it's a righteousness that is independent of God. It is a righteousness that is independent of the cross. It is an independent righteousness. Amen. There were those who trusted in themselves. In other words, they were self-righteous. Amen. There are some people who think that they don't need God to be good. They are self-righteous. And they're going to earn their way into heaven. It's a philosophy of works. It means that I can work my way in. In other words, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They believed that they could be good enough to get into heaven. And Jesus says, I want to send them a parable, and I want them to understand that it's not their righteousness that's going to get their prayer answered. Righteousness that's going to get you into heaven. He says, he spoke this certain parable unto them that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Amen. But they despised others. Amen. So they hated other folk. Amen. In other words, they trusted in their own righteousness, and they believed that their own righteousness would get them into heaven, and that they could go to heaven by works. And they didn't like nobody who didn't feel that same way. In other words, we feel like we can work our way in. If there's anybody else thinking that they don't have to work their way in, they despise them. You got to be good. You got to be great. You got to be on top of things. Well, he says that there were two men. He gives this example in verse 10. He gives that there were two men. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Amen. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. Amen. And incidentally, let me throw this in. Amen. You're always going up when you're praying, when you're going to church. When you're going to prayer meeting, you're always going up. They were going up to the temple to pray. Amen. It's not just geographical, although Jerusalem is on an incline, but you see in verse 14, they went down from prayer. You go up to the church house, and you go down when you leave the church. You're going up, and you're going down. And they went up to the temple for the purpose of praying. And Jesus uses this example about how he will, those who will get their prayer answered, by giving them an example of someone who was devoted or devout and someone who was despised and rejected. As he gave this parable, he was giving it to those who had, by the people, in the eyes of the people had accepted. And then he was, he brought somebody that you all accept, and then he brought somebody that they did not like. And then he said, these are the two examples that I'm going to give you about getting your answer to prayer. He said the publican came in verse 11. We see the publican. He comes in, and as he comes in, he stands, and he prays with himself, and he says that, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like all other men. Amen. Extortioners, unjust. Amen. Adulterers, or even as this publican, he stood there, and he thanked God. And the question becomes: he's not thanking God for him being good. He is thanking God because he's so good. He's bragging on himself, and he's just using a standard introduction when he talk about God, I thank thee, because he's really taking credit himself for his goodness. And he just got this standard introduction. You know how people go to prayer meeting and they just talk. Amen. God, they say they're talking to God, but they're really talking to each other. Amen. They're talking about somebody, or they're talking through the prayer meeting to somebody else. Amen. Amen. They're not, anytime your prayer is addressed to somebody other than God, you're not praying to God. Well, the fact of the matter is, he stood there. He stood there and he said, I thank God that I'm not like all other men. And he basically just really was filled with pride. He was filled with pride, and he thought so much of himself. He was self-righteous, and he felt privileged to be there because he was so good. In essence, what he was saying was, Lord, I'm just wonderful. He bragged on himself. He bragged on himself to God. He says that I'm so wonderful. He says that I've done nothing wrong, Lord. I'm so good. I'm such a good person. Amen. I'm always doing what you want me to do, and I'm just here, Lord, to remind you how good I am. I just want you to know, Lord, that I'm not like these other people. He's got his nose in the air, and he got his chest out, and he's patting himself on the back, and he's telling God about how good he is. I'm so wonderful. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And not only that, he says in verse 12 that I fast twice in the week. Amen, amen. And I pay my tithes. And I'm just wonderful. I'm just so good. I'm just too good to be here. And he stood over by himself, away from the public, and didn't want to be with those folk that's doing bad things. I'm too good. I'm holier than thou. I'm so good. God, you ought to be glad to have me, God. He just boasted and he bragged and he poured syrup all over himself and talked about how sweet and how good he was. Amen. He bragged on himself, and he basically saying that, you know, look, I pay my tithes. And not only that, I pray and fast twice a week. There's just no shame in my game. I'm all that in a bag of chips. And his attitude that he had him so lifted up till that's the very thing that's going to keep him from getting a blessing from Almighty God. And God will make you do good and great things, but you don't need to act like you are the ones, that's the reason. And that's where the problem was. The problem was is that he trusted in himself, not in God. And here he's giving himself credit. He's not giving God credit. And that's the problem, is that he made so many mistakes. And but one is, because you really don't really know who he's. He really had a whole lot to say to God, except he's bragging on him. He used I five times in these two verses, and he just pronouns I all the way through. Something that he did. The conversation is filled with him. It's not about, Lord, you've been so good to me, or you've done this. No, it's about what I've done, God, and you ought to be glad to have me. Amen. I'm not a sinner. I'm a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were those who one of the religious groups in Jesus' day, who numbered about 6,000, and they were the ones who worshiped themselves because of their outward conformity to the law. In other words, they was good on the outside, but they were not good on the inside. But they looked like they were good. They did everything right. Amen. They did what they were supposed to do on the outside. But on the inside, Jesus says that they are nothing but full of dead men's bones. He said, you all are external, but Christians, but on the inside. Because he says, basically, I'm not like nobody else. I'm comparing myself to men. Well, let me get on before the truth is, that's a mistake, comparing himself to men. Amen. The Bible says, it makes it plain in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says that they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. Amen. Because you're using other men as the standard. You're good according to the next man, but you're measuring yourself by other men. And the standard is not other men. The standard is you're praying to me, and you got to be holy. And when it comes to you qualifying before me, you are not worthy. So what you're doing is you're giving yourself credit, and you're taking credit for doing good. You trusted in yourself that you were righteous, and you are taking the credit for it. You don't realize that Romans 3:23 said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You didn't read Proverbs 27 and 2 where it says, let another man praise thee and not thee thy, and not your own lips, not your own mouth. You should never exalt yourself. He says, let somebody else do the exalting. And here he is boasting. Here he is tooting his horn. Here he is patting himself on the back before a holy and righteous God. And God is saying, that don't impress me at all. All of our righteousness, the Bible says, are just like filthy rags in the eyesight of God. When you look at Isaiah 64:6, I believe, he says all of it, amen, the best, when we're in our best behavior, it still don't qualify us. We're not good enough to be in God's presence. We need a Savior. And what he's doing here is he's taking credit. And he's saying that I'm worthy. Well, we see the publican, we see the Pharisee with his righteous self, but look at the publican. Look at what the publican did, and we'll try to cut this off. The truth is that the publican had a different approach. The publican was one who had an attitude of humility because he would later be asking for help. He had an attitude of humility. Notice how he came. He came, and when he came in verse 13, the Bible says that the publican, he would not so much even lift his eyes toward heaven. Amen. Amen. He would not even look up. One writer says, can't you see him with his hand in his face? I think that was Eugene Peterson that got his hands in his face, and he's not looking up, he's looking down, and he smote his breast, and that represents a continuous action. He beat his breast, and instead of sticking his chest out, he got his chest in. Instead of having his nose in the air, he got his head down. This man has positioned himself for answered prayer. He has positioned himself to be accepted by God because he didn't bring in all that religious regalia and all of that pompness and nose in the air and the holier than thou attitude. He comes in knowing that I'm going before a holy God and I'm not worthy. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Oftentimes we can get so holy and so high until we think we're doing God a favor by coming to church. We can think we can do God a favor by praying, by singing, by giving. We're doing God a favor. All those things he did were good, but he did it from a self-righteousness. But we got the example from this publican, the despised one. How is it that oftentimes the person who is despised and rejected, the one that is the lowlife, comes in and set a better example than the folk in the church? The guy who was the rejected one. Jesus says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to give you y'all's Pharisee that y'all crazy about and you respect so much. And then I'm going to give you the guy y'all hate his guts. And I'm going to tell you which one you ought to be like. I think the one that sent the example is not really the good example. And the one that you don't think is the example really is the example. Because he recognized that he was a victim of sin. If you talk to the Pharisee, he probably say, sin don't bother me. Sin has not curtailed my life. He walking around like sin don't exist. You mean as bad as sin in you walking above sin? You let him tell it. The Pharisee would tell you that I'm doing fine on cloud nine. But this man is, you get a different response. He comes in before God, his head is down, and he's not even looking up. He don't even feel worthy to even look at toward heaven. And he beats his breast in despair. That means that there is a lack of hope. And he sees that he's unworthy. Oh, we would have some kind of church if folk came to church like they were sinners and didn't think because they knew so many scriptures in the Bible and that they carried such a big Bible and that they been in church so long or they got this title or they got that, that I'm so holy I can't even worship the Lord. But this man comes in and he has an attitude of humility. I don't deserve to be here. He says, notice what he says. I think he'd been to theology school. That's what they, amen, seminary is what it's supposed to be. Actually, it should be cemetery. But he'd been to the, he, notice what he says. He says, he says, God, have mercy. Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all I want to talk about is mercy. You see, he addresses God and with a real prayer. That other guy, that prayer he prayed, that wasn't really know about no prayer. This here is a real prayer. You see, you got to be humble to pray. That's why a lot of folk don't do it. Bible says, if my people that are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked way, but they got to come down. They got to recognize that they are unworthy. And this man, this publican, this outcast, the one that didn't nobody like, he is the one who makes the correct statement. I am a sinner. He admitted to being a sinner. He called himself a sinner. He said, just forgive me, Lord. And people need to do the same thing. We need to look at each other as sinners. Amen. I didn't ask to be born a sinner. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be brought into the world. I just showed up. Somebody else brought me here. And David said, I'm a born sinner. In Psalms 51:5, I was born in sin and I was shaping in iniquity. He said, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry, Lord. I've tried to live a Christian life. I've crossed all of my T's and dotted all of my I's. And at the end of the day, I still fell short. I did my best. I walked the straight and narrow. And I thought I was doing something right. But every time I thought I was getting there, I fell on my face. I'm sorry. I'm just a sinner. I'm a sinner. Just, Lord, have mercy on me. That's what I need, because mercy gives me what I don't deserve, and grace is when I do get what I, when you talk about great mercy, it's about when God don't give you what you deserve. I deserve justice. But he said, don't give me what I deserve, but do give me what I do deserve. But do give me what I don't deserve. I deserve your grace, but right now I need some mercy. He said, Lord, would you just have mercy on me, a sinner? He recognizes that I need a sacrifice. I need someone to qualify me to be into your presence. I'm fixing to stop. He says that I need your mercy. Lord, be mercy for me, a sinner. I wish I could would be a better person, but I'm a sinner. And Lord, if you'll accept me, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be black. I didn't ask to be brown. I didn't ask to be white. I didn't ask to be a sinner. I was not in the garden. I was not there when I'm just a victim of what somebody else did. And now here I am in a world where everybody is hard on me. Don't get mad at me. I didn't ask to be a sinner. The problem is that it just turns out that in this world of sin, is that sin has got his knee on my neck and I can't breathe. I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I'm not a racist, I'm a sinner. I'm not a liar, I'm a sinner. I'm not a cheater, I'm a sinner. I'm not a hypocrite, I'm a sinner. So please, don't shoot me. Don't shoot me, don't hurt me, don't hit me. Don't harm me. Don't shoot me. I'm just a victim of sin. Father, I thank you now for your mercy. I thank you that you don't give me what I deserve. I'm just a sinner in need of a savior. I'm a sinner in need of a sacrifice. I'm just a sinner in need of mercy. I'm just a victim of sin. Have mercy upon me, O God. Thank you for salvation. Help me, O God, to reach out and say, yes, Lord, take me by the hand. Save me, for I'm unworthy to be in your presence. Save me, Lord. Nothing to the cross I bring, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Help us to be more merciful and help us to ask you for mercy, knowing that if you gave us justice, nobody would make it in. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And we pray that somebody will say yes. Pray now that somebody would recognize that they too can receive salvation, but they can't come with their chest out. They got to come in an humble way and ask with an attitude of humility. They need to ask for help and just say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we know that your grace and mercy will save us. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all, amen, say in our hearts, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen again. In Jesus' name, amen.